Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Mark chapter 6. There are two types of Christians. One's got a brand new baby down here. Hey, we got our own Noah. Isn't that great? All right. Yeah, somebody else said they was going to work on a Moses. I don't remember who that was, but anyhow, here we go. Two types of Christians, those who have faith in God and believe that God can do anything. Is that you? Raise your hand. And then the other type that struggle with doubt and unbelief and are spiritually a day late and a dollar short. That's no fun, right? Hello. Spiritually a day late and a dollar short. All right. Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith. Mark chapter 2, there was a man that was had palsy. Jesus saw his faith and said to the sick of the palsy, rise up, your sins are forgiven, take your bed and walk, go home. One woman had an issue of blood. Brandon preached about it just recently in Mark chapter 5. And he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, have faith in God. And one blind man recorded in Luke 18 had his sight totally restored. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And in Luke chapter 17, the Lord says, if you had faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Great things always happen when God's children choose to believe and receive rather than doubt and lose out. You ever feel sometimes like your doubt's bigger than your faith? And you just kind of wonder what's going to happen, if God's going to do it. Isaiah chapter 53 says, who will believe our message? Me. To whom is the Lord's power been revealed? Dallas Home one day, a great songwriter said it this way. Hey, I'm a believer now since Jesus changed my mind. I'm a believer now. Everything's going to be fine. And one old school song that Oral Roberts used to sing in his times of healing revival, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. You remember that song. In Numbers chapter 13, we see a comparison. One group of people believed God could do anything, and the other group of people were controlled by fear and doubt. And the funny thing about it is God told all these people that everything is okay. You go into the promised land. That's the promised land. Everything's wonderful over there. It's interesting to me that, you see, the children of Israel were in bondage, right, to Pharaoh, and then they got out of bondage to Pharaoh, and they went into the wilderness for 40 years. Remember that? And now they're getting ready to go into the promised land that God had promised them. It's always kind of funny to me that Moses and Aaron decided, well, we should send some spies into Canaan's land to make sure everything is okay. You know, if the Lord said it's going to be okay, why send the spies? I mean, that's just me. Well, I think I know the reason. Because I think God was allowing them to test their own faith, test their own attitude. Check it out. Do you really believe, or are you having trouble believing? Can you really believe God for the miracle? Can you really believe God for the healing? That's the question. One group believed, the other didn't. The command was to send 12 spies into the land of Canaan. If you're familiar with that story, raise up your hand. So 12 spies, here they go. Canaan was the promised land. Remember that. Men were selected to go in as spies, were the leaders of all of the 12 tribes of Israel. You can go through and name them, Naphtali and the different ones, Joshua and Caleb, we know about them. They were called spies. I call them the check it out gang. They were to return with a report, and that report was one of two things. Either God can do it, or we don't think God is able to do it. So the mission was given to the spies to spy out the most from the southern part of Canaan, 250 miles up to the northern part of Canaan, and then 250 miles back, hello, across that stretch there by the Mediterranean Sea, 250 up, 250 back, that's 500 miles. It's going to take them 40 days. And the mission given to the men were to find out these questions, to see if the people there were strong or were they weak, to see if the towns were all fortified like Jericho or were they unfortified. Go check it out. To check out the soil to see if it was fertile or if it was poor soil or if the trees were full or were they barren. To bring back samples of the fruit. Because it was grape season. How about that? I don't know if they're going to make wine out of that or what they're going to do. Anyhow, the first city they spied out was Hebron. And it was inhabited by giants. Very tall people. They looked in on that city. And that's where the phrase, yikes, originated. And that's where that saying that says, well, the bigger they are, the... You've read this story too. It was the Valley of Eshcol. And in the Valley of Eshcol, a single cluster of grapes was so large that it had to be carried on a pole by two men along with the other fruit. I was going to bring a soccer ball. Didn't they make a nice grape? Nancy Joe got me some plums today, and I got them on the way to church today all over my shirt and all over my ears and everything. I can imagine a grape that big around, right? That'd be great. And it was called Eshcol because of the large grapes, and Eshcol means Valley of the Cluster. So you've seen pictures of those guys carrying the grapes. It was like me when I did firefighter training. I had one great big guy in front of me and one great big guy behind me. And we had a fully charged hose. And we were getting ready to put a fire out. And those guys were so big, the hose was over their shoulder. And I was hanging on for dear life. And my feet didn't even touch the ground. I've kind of felt like a large cluster of grapes. The spies returned after a 40-day mission. The report was given to Moses and Aaron, and the report was given to the whole community, and then they brought all the fruit in and showed them. And that's how that worked. There were some positive things. Joshua and Caleb said, well, it's a land that flowed with milk and honey, and the fruit was the proof. I often wondered about how the milk got there. I was wondering if it was just a land of cows or goats or whatever. I don't know. But it flowed with milk and honey, and the fruit was the proof. And that's really the way Christians today observe every day, the day that we're in. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Every day that we're in, every day that we have to look forward to. We look at all the situations every morning we get up and we walk out the door with a mindset. Either this day is going to be horrible or this day is going to be wonderful. We have a mindset. Do we doubt or do we believe that God is going to work everything out for my good? According to the scriptures. And so we go out the door and we say, well, are the problems that we're facing today stronger than us? Or can we handle them? And is what I have to accomplish today, am I going into a good situation or am I going into a bad situation? Just like the children of Israel and the spies. Are the obstacles that I need to overcome today seemingly impossible because of all the situations that surround it? Is the result of pursuing these issues worth the effort? Well, if you listen to the news, If you haven't figured it out yet, don't do that. Because it'll put you in a mindset. I kind of got a little all trapped up in that one time in my life. Listen to the news, national news. Listen to 941, 5, or 4, and you can find out how many people got shot yesterday. And then you can listen to it today, tomorrow, and forever. You see, you got to be careful. Your mindset is important. You got to be careful what you feed your mind and your head with. Because you can put yourself into a position where you feel like everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Or you can put yourself into a mindset, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It doesn't matter if there are giants. It doesn't matter if it's fortified. It doesn't matter if there are walls. It doesn't matter if there are mountains. It doesn't matter if there are hills. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now that's the mindset that you need on every single issue in life that you face. But somehow, doubt has a tendency to want to creep in. Is there anything good that can come out of this thing today? God says yes, yes, and yes. Are your victories today going to be compared to the grapes of Eshcol? Or are your victories today going to be compared to the grapes of wrath brought out in the books of Revelation? And so the question this morning is this. Whose report will you believe? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And being interpreted, meaning this, as for me and my house, we will believe the report of the Lord. And so it's an option. And there's always a negative. Did you know that? There's always a negative report. Our songwriter said, all the promises are yes and amen. Boy, I like that one. But there's some people that proclaim to be pretty knowledgeable about God's word that could write a song just the opposite. All the promises are no and yes. Negative report. 10 negative spies. Leaders with a negative outlook on everything. Don't follow those kind of leaders. Don't listen to the negative reports. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. 10 leaders of the tribes of Israel with a negative report, the people are more powerful than us. The descendants of Anak, they were known as long necks, live there. I can just hear them. Don't try to fight a long neck. Mental preparation is important to you. The negative report of the 10 spies, the Amalekites are here. Not only that, he went on and said, there are 7 nations that are mightier than us. Hittites, Jebusites, Perizzites, Hivites, Girgashites, Canaanites. 7 nations. And I have to say to you that yesterday, today, and forever is full of 2 different choices. You get up in the morning, how are you going to face it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Or do you sing, oh me, I'm doomed. Oh, what a horrible morning. Oh, what a terrible day. I've got a dubious feeling. Nothing is going my way. Eeyore. Jesus said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You got to choose today what kind of a mindset are you going to walk through life with. 2 spies were positive. 10 were negative. Which causes me to say this with great experience. The majority is not always right. If you didn't hear Brandon's sermon last week, get it on. He talked a little bit about that. Told you to look out for who you put your confidence in and who you tell your stories to. They might look like a leader, but they might be one of the 10. Two spies that believed, you know their name, Joshua and Caleb. You know the names of the 10 spies who doubted. You know them well. They're called, what's his name? Hootendiddle and Doofus. Just to name a few. Where there's faith and belief, God moves. And where there's doubt and unbelief, the devil moves. There's, first of all, there's doubt and fear. Doubt and fear. And doubt and fear is a learned attitude. It's a learned attitude. Did you know all your sourpuss stuff, you didn't start out that way? When you started out screaming and yelling and yipping, it wasn't because you were upset about anything. You just wanted something to drink. Doubt and fear is a learned attitude. And people will say things like this. I sure wish I could have faith like that person. I sure wish I could grab a hold of that faith thing and I could just believe God and I could see miracles happen in my life. There's really a bunch of wannabe Christians that will tell you, well, I wish it used to be where we see God move. Well, look at it. If you don't see God move, you're hanging around with the wrong people, and you're one of those wrong people. Because God is moving everywhere all the time. Miracles are happening. I see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Problem is, you're looking for the wrong stuff. Fear and doubt is a developed attitude. And there are some seeds that you can plant that will grow doubt. See, we have this feeling that we can muster ourselves up and we can, if we're real careful, we won't doubt and we can muster up learning. We get this feeling sometimes that if we struggle enough and we work at it hard enough, we won't doubt. And so the enemy, when you start doubting things and using other avenues to approach things, then the enemy jumps on your back and he starts saying, well, you're not really a whole lot of a Christian because you don't believe that God can do anything. Look at you. You see what I'm saying? And so we get ourselves in this position. If I could just stop doubting, then I could believe more. Then I could be like so-and-so, or I could be like that person. And I could do more for God if I could just stop doubting. And we struggle with that. But here's the issue. The reason you grow doubt is because you're planting the wrong seeds. Seeds will always produce something. You will have a harvest of faith or you will have a harvest of doubt depending on the types of seed that you're planting. So you can be doing things that's causing doubt to spring forth in your life. And so you have to learn something. You have to come to a point in your life where you say, I am not willing to do that because it makes a doubter out of me. Thomas knew that. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so I made a little list this morning over a plum and some black cherries of some seeds that will always grow spiritual doubt in your life. There's seeds of weeds and there's seeds of grain. Is that correct? And so in our spiritual life, there are some things that if you don't let go of them, they will automatically grow you into a doubting Thomas, or maybe not even that good. And here are some of the things that if you continue in them, you will continue to have a lack of faith. And even though God has given you the promise of victory and steps being ordered of the Lord, even though God has given you those promises, if you continue planting these seeds, you will be a doubter. And so there's things in my life I refuse to do because I know that if I do them, my faith is going to wane. Doubt is going to rise. My results are going to be different. My children are going to live a different lifestyle than I choose for them. My business is going to go defunct. The friends that I choose to hang around with are really the wrong choices, but I can't see in them such. See what I'm saying? So let's take a look at some of those things that you must, if you want to not be a doubter, and if you want to be a person of faith, I've just written down a few things. You can make a list about that long. Here's one of them, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from that unrighteous thing. See, unless we have godly sorrow about our sins, we won't confess them. If we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. And so we need to be on a basis with God every day where we seriously confess our sins. And what I mean by that is I'll turn from my sin. It may only last 12 hours and you do it again, but at least I'm going to keep confessing. Unconfessed sin, if you want to live in it, you go right ahead. But just know one thing, you're growing doubt. What I'm talking about doubt is you don't believe God's word. Did you know that the only part of the Bible you believe is that which what you do? If you don't do what the Bible says, you don't believe it. And you know what happens? You know why you don't believe it? Because you doubt it. And you know why you have doubt? Because you might have unconfessed sin in your life. You start living on a clean slate. You get that junk out of your life. Notice I said junk. Brandon would use a different word. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But if you want to live in unconfessed sin, your doubt is going to supersede your faith. So that's one of the reasons I am so busy confessing all the time. Because I know this is true. The Bible means it. God can't look upon sin. How in the world can you be having a life of sin and then turn and look God in the face and say, hey, wait a minute, I got something I need from you. All right, here's something that will cause you to become a doubter more than a person of faith. Procrastination. If you are a procrastinator, you suck at faith and you're good with doubt. Look at your procrastination is lethargy, it's folding of the hands, it's slothfulness. Procrastination. Now you mean to tell me that all this procrastination, this stuff I'm putting off day after day after day after day? Yeah, the Bible says don't be lazy. It says the one that doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. Why don't you try providing a little elbow room? Get out there and clean it out. Fix it up. Quit your procrastinating. Here's one that will make a doubter out of you. Refusing to do what the Bible is convicting you to do. And you think, okay, well, the Bible has told me I should live like this. And guess what? That might take me a couple years to fix it up, but one of these days I'm going to fix it up. Now, today is the day of salvation. If God says do it or don't do it, it's today, not tomorrow. Well, there are circumstances, Pastor. You don't understand my circumstances. Maybe not, but God does. And so does the devil. So if you are disobedient to the word of God, the devil's going to turn that disobedience into doubt. And God says the just shall live by faith. Finger pointing. Here's one. If you're a finger pointer, in other words, you're always busy about other people's business. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Because if you are a busybody in other men's matters, you are planting seeds of doubt, and you're not going to be the person of faith that you think you would like to be, or even the person that you think you are. If you're a finger pointer, if you're a busybody, if you're a nosy gossip, hello, you are going to grow doubt so big you won't have the faith to blow your nose. That don't take a lot of faith, does it? Nope, you just do it. That's right. It's that obvious. Your spiritual life is just mucus because you're a gossip. Boy, you better check that one out. I'm telling you, you better check it out. Finger pointer, gossip. How about immorality? How about sexual immorality? Is that okay? Everybody's doing it. It's the way the 21st century works. The old, be careful, little eyes, what you see, and be careful, little hands, what you touch, and little feet, where you go. That was Sunday school back in the 1930s. No, it's biblical today. You say, I can't understand why I can't have the faith, why I can't move mountains, why I can't, because sexual immorality is your own doing, it you're developing. How about unforgiveness? Well, who should I forgive? I have a list of 17. I've got to pick three. I got to forgive. No, you got to forgive 17. Just a thought. How about a bad attitude? You ever been around somebody just a bad attitude? You just hate it. Quit it. Bad attitude. How about vulgarity? How about the BS champions? Or the GD lovers? Are you one of them? Here's a way to check yourself. Go get a hammer and hit your thumb. Hallelujah! That's a trained way. What am I talking about? Are you anti-vulgarity? What about using the name of the Lord in vain? Do you think using the name of the Lord in vain, and a GD this and an FU that and all this kind of stuff, if you think all that stuff is acceptable for you to be a person of faith, you are fooling yourself. You're growing doubt in your life, and you're becoming something that you don't want to be and that God don't want you to be, but you're truly becoming something and are something that the devil wants you to be. It's a light under a bushel. That's who you are. Is it going to make a difference whether you go to heaven or not? No, probably won't. because we're saved by grace, the blood of Jesus plus nothing. You're going to go to heaven if you accept Jesus Christ in your heart and life. But I'm talking about being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what I want to be. I want to be a wimpy Christian. Huh. Because that's a learned attitude, right? I got to go quickly. I get it. Then it becomes fungus. It grows on the inside. And fungus that's growing on the inside is causing you to be a nervous mess, full of tension and stress. Stress is a result of being a doubter in God. You start having become a person of faith instead of a doubter. Hello, you're not going to be stressed anymore. And then the next thing, that fungus on the inside of you becomes a growth that sticks out for everyone to see. It becomes who you are. And sometimes doubt is birthed out of constantly entertaining and living in fear and defeat and disobedience. And then there's another way that you can create doubt in your life. It's birthed out of using sarcasm. Sarcasm will kill your faith. Well, I doubt that. I doubt it. Don't give me that. So you put up a shield where reality is no longer a stronghold in your life, but you become sarcastic. And when you become sarcastic, don't give me that garbage. You can't tell me that. It gets worse and worse and worse. And then you become the type of a news reporter that relishes in trash. And if that's the kind of person you are, don't think you can move mountains in the name of Jesus, because that mountain is going to fall over on top of you. Hey, is it all right to preach like this? Too late? I'm already in it. Amen. Remember this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's fear doubt and there's sarcasm doubt. And it's doubt to your spiritual life is like a millstone hung around your neck and dropped into the ocean is hard on your physical life. All right, it's a killer. Put downs, fearful doubting, outward stinking attitude exposes visually who you are on the inside. All right, here's a scripture for you. Put it up for me. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. Let's look at this. The world's unprincipled. Huh, believe that? Oh, no. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. And what is that is saying is this: we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You may be doing some things back down here that aren't pleasing to God, but you don't know it yet. Does that make you a doubter? Nope, it doesn't. Makes you a child, makes you an infant, makes you a beginner. But unto him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, there, everybody in this church is at a different level. There are some things that I can't do that you can do just fine. And you're not going to grow doubt, and God's not going to be upset with you. None of that. You're on the same level as this one up here. But as time goes on, and you start feeding on the Word of God, and the spirit of conviction starts dealing with you, all of a sudden you have an agreement with God. So you're right, God. I get it. I get it. I get it. And I'm so sorry, God. I come to you with tears and a broken spirit. I did not realize that I was doing something that was producing negativism between you and me. I didn't get it, but I get it now. That's when you become responsible. So don't take this message and say, well, I've screwed up everything on that list. Yep, that's me. I got that list down good. I'm good. No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Rise up above it. You see, there's nothing like being educated from the throne of God. There's nothing any greater than the Holy Spirit pointing out something in your life and saying, do away with that now. We're here. And there's nothing like you saying, okay, I'm climbing that ladder. I'm going higher, just higher someday. Hello, every day is sweeter. You get what I'm saying? Why do you say that, Pastor? Because Jesus said very clearly, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so we're down here, yep, but every day we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Got another scripture for you. Here we go. 1 Peter 5:6. So, be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. Put your hand on your head. Here we go. Say, God's strong hand is upon me. I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in my coming in and in my going out. Everything that my hand findeth to do will prosper. Come on, get with me here. Everything my hands find to do will prosper. Say it with me. Because God is in me, and he's around me, and he's for me, and he's through me. Hello. So devil, no, not today. God's strong hand is on you. You mean even though I'm planting seeds of doubt? Yep, you better believe it. You better believe it. You're a child of the King. You're blood bought. You're washed in the blood. You're here today because you love God, and God's here today because he loves you. He'll promote you at the right time. Don't worry about it. Live carefree before God, for he is most careful with you. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunging into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. Say, Pastor, you're not struggling with what I'm struggling with. Well, I probably did. Well, Pastor, nobody's going through the mess I'm in. Well, we've all been there. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. This is now in the time of Jesus. So we're talking about how doubt can grow in your life way back in the Old Testament, and then we see it in our life today, and this scripture talks about the same thing in Jesus' day. Jesus, in Mark chapter 6, he left there and returned to his hometown. He comes back to Nazareth. And all of his disciples came along with him. Here we go. Church is moving back into Nazareth. On the Sabbath day, Jesus gets up in his local church where he grew up, And he gave a lecture in the meeting place. He made a real hit. He impressed everybody. They said things like this: "We had no idea he was this good. How did he get so wise all of a sudden and get such ability? Rah, rah, boom, dee." But in the next breath, they started doubting, cutting him down. "Well, he's just a carpenter, Mary's kid. We've known him since he was a kid. We knew his brothers. These are Jesus' brothers, in case you wondered, his family tree. His brothers, we knew James, his brother James, and Justice, and Jude. And we knew Simon, and we knew all of his sisters. Who does he think he is?" They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling, and they never got any further. I don't ever want to trip over stuff. I don't ever want to let a blessing pass by me without acknowledging it. I don't ever want a day go by but what Jesus is not the center. They tripped over it. And then Jesus said to them, "Well, a prophet has little honor in his hometown, among his relatives, and on the streets he played in as a child." And then verse 5 says, Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. He laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. That's all. He couldn't get over their stubbornness and their doubt. He left and made a circuit of the other villages, teaching and performing miracles. You see, Jesus said, he's in your house. He's knocking on your door. And he wants you to grow. And he wants you to become. And he wants you to be like him. And he wants you to have faith, not doubt. Just remember this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I've had a lot of fun today. Got my ankles cooled off. Feel good about that. I see why he does it now. But somehow, as you look at your spiritual life, you don't see yourself as being a spiritual person. You haven't really caught a glimpse of who you are in God according to Jesus. You're just kind of coasting along and kind of fitting in, but you don't feel like a spiritual giant. God says to you today, you can do all things through me. Trust in me with all your heart and all your strength and all your might. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes you visualize your own doubt and you don't really have a grasp on who you really are in God. And today I want to ask you this question: do you really want to see yourself rising victorious in him in spite of all your weakness? And you're saying to you, you know, as the Holy Spirit reveals things to you, are you willing to apply those things that he's pressing in your spirit? Is that what you really want? And if you say, God, I want to be all I can be in you, then I want you to stand up. And I want you to take the authority today over any kind of doubt, any kind of fear, any kind of sarcasm, any shortcoming. See, I want to be all that God wants me to be.
I don't want to be a doubter. I want to rise up.
Hallelujah. Holy God Almighty. God, arise in this church. Arise in every individual. God, arise with your power and your might and your strength. We might do exploits in your name. Father, that we might lift up the bloodstained banner. And Father, that we might see your name glorified and results of your power and your strength in our life and in our families and our loved ones and our children and our friends. God, make us to be all that you would have us to be. Because today we stand, we lift up our hearts and our hands, and we say, Lord, put your word in my heart. Lord, put your spirit in my life. Lord, remove all doubt. I am a candidate today to be a man and a woman of faith. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, so be it. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. You may be seated.